Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, and streaming live on Periscope, on Twitch, and on YouTube. So our pretty face is available for all to see. And a guy who can't see our pretty faces right now is on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Adam Vingan from The Athletic, who joins us each and every Wednesday here at 9:30. Adam, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I mean, I can see your pretty faces if I just go onto Periscope.
It's true. Yeah, how did you know he wasn't watching? Do you know he hasn't been watching the whole day?
That was a poor assumption
on
my part.
That's a nice plaid shirt you've got on, Robbie.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well done, Adam. Nicely done.
What do you think about my outfit?
Okay.
Just starts laughing.
It's a typical waking up at 6 a.m. dad outfit.
There you go.
I'm wearing green.
Adam, what's this week like for you with the NCAA tournament getting underway and the Duke Blue Devils not being a part of it?
Ooh.
It is quite disheartening and weird. I mean, it's been, 25 years since Duke last failed to qualify for the NCAA tournament, so it is quite odd to watch a tournament with no rooting interest. But I still will, because I love March Madness.
Of course.
So that was the year Krzyzewski tried to pawn off those losses on somebody else, right?
Well, what year would that have been?
96? 95?
Well, I was 7 or 8 years old at the time, so it was beyond me.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Another reminder of how old Joe Rexroad is.
Pleading youthful ignorance.
Yes, my first vivid memory is my dad calling me from Tropicana Field after Duke lost to UConn in the 1999 championship game. I think he might have been crying, but I'm not sure. But,
first championship game I covered. That was amazing.
Yeah. Hey, good times of yesteryear.
I still don't like hearing about the likes of Khalid El Amin and Richard Hamilton. I think Jake Voskel
crushed Duke that night. Man, Jake Voskel. Oh,
just a heartbreaking night for young Adam Vingan there on the program.
That might have been Duke's best team. Just saying.
Adam,
speaking
of what we brought you on to talk about, the Nashville Predators, Matthias Ekholm continues to be heavily involved in trade rumors, and the price right now reported to be out there from Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, pretty high, but I think not surprisingly so, if you're the Predators trying to trade Matthias Ekholm. As you look at this process of the Predators and Matthias Ekholm being, I think, the number one target, at least among defensemen, maybe in the entire league, at the NHL trade deadline, what sort of a haul should you try to hold out for if you're the Predators?
Well, I think Elliot, in his latest 31 Thoughts column, referred to Matthias Ekholm as the bell of the deadline ball. And I would agree with that. I mean, we've talked about how he is number one on the Athletic's NHL trade deadline big board. And about a month ago, I wrote a story talking about the five Predators players who I would move before the deadline. And then talking to people around the league, that Jake Muzzin trade with the Toronto Maple Leafs between the Kings and the Maple Leafs in, I think it was January 2019, came up in conversation more than once in terms of what the baseline should be for a potential Ekholm deal, which was a first-round pick and two prospects, one forward prospect and one defensive prospect. And I think that is what, as I just said, the baseline should be. I mean, I think a first-round pick absolutely has to be part of the return. I think if it isn't, then I think the Predators should move on to somebody who's willing to give up a first-round pick, and I do believe that they should be looking for high-quality prospects, or at least one high-quality prospect, maybe one mid-quality prospect if there are two prospects involved in the trade. But when you consider just how coveted Matthias Ekholm seems to be around the league, absolutely. I mean, the Predators should not budge from their asking price. There are plenty of teams that want a player like Matthias Ekholm. Elliott has reported the likes of the Boston Bruins, the Philadelphia Flyers, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Winnipeg Jets. If there's going to be a bidding war, then they should absolutely take advantage of it.
Is there a way to have a successful rebuild without trading Matthias Ekholm? Do you have to trade him?
I feel like if you are serious about retooling this team, I think you have to. And one thing that you have to consider, of course, and all of these teams have to consider when making trades at this deadline, is the Seattle expansion draft. And, you know, Matias Ekholm, you know, is a player that, if he is no longer on the roster, simplifies the Predators' approach to that expansion draft, because they can protect three defensemen, Roman Josi, who of course has to be protected, Ryan Ellis and Dante Fabro. Then they can protect seven forwards, if they can find seven forwards worth, you know, worth protecting. Absolutely. I think when you think about the other players who might be on the block, Mikael Granlund, Nick Cousins, Eric Halla, you know, those players bring back, you know, mid-round picks, maybe in the case of Granlund, a second-round pick or, you know, something like that. But, you know, Matias Ekholm absolutely has the most value. So I think if this team is serious about retooling, rebuilding, whatever you want to call it, I think trading Matias Ekholm has to be part of that process.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Adam, you bring up Granlund there, and I thought it was interesting yesterday, Kyle Dubas, the GM for the Toronto Maple Leafs, saying he's open to trading some prospects and would like to make a deal for a forward ASAP. Obviously, with the quarantine situation in Canada, that kind of speeds up the timeline on this as well. And Granlund is a guy that you have kind of pieced together that could be a good fit for the Maple Leafs. What do you think of that idea? Do you think Granlund would be high in terms of the target list for Toronto?
I do, because as you mentioned, another thing that I think Kyle Dubas, the GM of the Maple Leafs, said yesterday is that he's looking for rentals. I think he's looking for, you know, a player that does not – first of all, he's looking for forwards. He said that's his priority. And two, he said that he's looking, I believe, if I recall correctly, he's looking for rental players.
Yep.
So that the expansion question – it, you know, that doesn't factor into the expansion question. So Granlund checks off a lot of those boxes. And I did a story about a week and a half ago with one of our Maple Leafs reporters, James Myrtle, where we looked at how Granlund could fit. And James has said that the Maple Leafs were one of the teams that was interested in Mikael Granlund in free agency before Granlund decided to re-sign with the Predators, as we know, sort of surprisingly. There seems to be some interest there. So It would make a lot of sense, you know, for Granlund to go to Toronto. I think he could play in their top six. You know, I'm very interested to see what, you know, Granlund could do with a player like John Tavares or Austin Matthews or William Nylander, Mitch Marner. I think he could fit in with that group. So, you know, if another team you need to put on that list, I think, the New York Islanders. They just announced within the past hour that Anders Lee, their captain, is out for the season after undergoing ACL surgery. So they'll be looking forward to fill that role. And I think Granlund, so a different player than Anders Lee, you know, could be a player that they could be interested in.
You brought up an interesting point. We've been playing, you know, let's be John Robinson today, and we've been just trying to figure out what's going on with John Robinson and the Titans and what that picture is going to look like. You brought up the protection of seven forwards, Adam. Who do you suppose those would be? Off the top of your head.
That's a good question. So, well, you'd have to assume Philip Forsberg would be number one on that list. I would put Luke Cunningham on that list just because they just traded for him and he's young, and you would hope that, you know, he could be a part of this team moving forward. If you're not trading Victor Arvidsson, I would put him on that list. Colton Sissons, I would put on that list. Kalle Järnkrok, I would put on that list. The question is, do you protect Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene? Or do you hope that you can entice the Seattle Kraken into taking one of them by sweetening the deal, perhaps by trading one of those players that I mentioned to Seattle along with one of those high-priced centers?
And just for clarification purposes, the Predators don't have to protect Elli Tolvanen.
Correct. He is exempt.
He's the new UC Saros.
Right.
Yes, he is exempt.
You'll get asked so many times about him, though. Both you guys will.
Yes, but I believe a player like Rem Pitlick, for example, is eligible based on his age.
Yep.
So, you know, those are other things that you have to take into consideration. Another player who is eligible is Connor Ingram. So you will protect UC Saros in that expansion draft as the one goaltender, but Connor Ingram is eligible to be selected in the expansion draft. And though I don't think he would be selected because there will be more veteran experienced goaltenders available to Seattle, if you're looking to pick, you know, if you're looking to build a system, you know, you could do worse than Connor Ingram. Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, are there seven forwards worth protecting on this roster? And that's something that we'll have to reevaluate after the trade deadline.
Adam, last thing for you here. You came out with a great piece the other day on The Athletic, talking to Pecorine. We kind of floated the idea out here on the show. Like, if you're the Predators and you're David Poile, like, do you approach Pekka at some point and say, all right, would you be willing, or do you want to go maybe play for a contender if this is truly it? And maybe you're not coming back next year. Do you try to finish off your career with one more shot at the Stanley Cup? And you had a conversation with him about that earlier this week. What did you take away from that conversation? And what I guess do you think Pekka's mindset is to that as they move forward here?
Well, I wanted to talk to him just because we've seen so many examples throughout NHL history, and throughout sports, but specifically NHL history, of older players, old guys without a cup, as our Sean McIndoe likes to call them over at The Athletic. We've seen plenty of examples of that, of players who are associated with one franchise, you know, going to another team, a contending team at the deadline, and chasing a cup. The most famous example, of course, would be Ray Bourque winning the Stanley Cup in 2001 with the Colorado Avalanche. So no one would fault Pecorine for wanting to do that. He's 38 years old. He's been open about the fact that this could be his last season. The likelihood of this team making the playoffs is low. So if he wanted to give it one last shot, you know, I don't think any of us would blame him for that or hold that against him, but he doesn't appear to want to do that, and neither does the organization. So, one thing I was amazed by was in doing research for this story, I was looking at goaltenders who have played the most playoff games in NHL history without winning the Stanley Cup. And Pecorine is fourth on that list.
Yeah.
You know, the only goalies that have played more games without a cup in the playoffs, Curtis Joseph, Henrik Lundqvist, and Ron Hextall. Pecorine has played 89 playoff games and has not won a Stanley Cup. So if you're him, you know, like I said, I don't think any of us would hold it against him if he wanted to do that. But as he told me, he does not want to do that. He considers it a badge of honor to have only played for one franchise, and I think he wants to keep it that way.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Joins us every week here at 9:30 on Wednesdays. Adam, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, Joe, comb that hair.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Parting shot for Joe Retro on the way out the door.
You can adopt Kentucky. Oh, no. Oh, sorry, you can't.
Wow.
Never.
Tar Heels, baby. Tar Heels are in the tournament, aren't they? I think they are.
I will say one thing that my father did teach me. ABC. Anybody but Carolina.
There you go. I like that. Adam Vingan's nice approach to the tournament coming up later this week. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Adam had to say there and get into some trade possibilities for the Predators as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.